You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, hello. Welcome back for the great episode. My name is Sarah Karakhan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are going to kick off this episode like we do every week. That's sharing one of you, our amazing listeners or viewers, if you're here on YouTube with us, and share your property. You're using the hashtag #StrSunday. We will not only share you on our Instagram page on Sundays, but also blast you out on our email list, talk about here on the podcast, give you some free marketing, which is a segue to today's show. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing at Provision Properties, and that's P-U-R-V-I-S-I-O-N. And it's Jake and Jackie Purvis. Please go check them out. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. Number one, their short form video content, aka Reels, they are crushing it. Jake and Jackie, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to tell our listeners, please go look at what they're doing. Look how they're showcasing their properties with the short form video. They're doing an excellent job. It's fun. It shows, you know, why you would want to go to their place. It gets you excited to stay in the property. But one other thing I want to highlight, because we talk about this very often, just like most people in the short-term rental world, they don't just have one, because I'm sure they started with one. They have three, and they're all under their larger brand of Provision Properties, but they have the Centennial, the Perch, and the Cove. And I love the Centennial is 100 years old. The Perch is a modified A-frame, and the Cove is a lake cabin. So they have three different properties, but they're all held under their larger brand of Provision Properties. So if you're someone that is struggling with trying to figure out, how do I create content for all of my places? Do I have different handles and different names and this, that, and the other? Go check them out. See how well they're doing it. About the interior of their homes too, they've done a really great job. One of their properties has this amazing green accent color, like flowing throughout from like their glassware to wallpaper in a room. Just a really great use of color. And I want to go stay with them.
They're branding experts. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah. So please go find some inspiration in not only the spaces that they are creating, but the content they are creating to showcase their spaces. So well done, Provision Properties. We can't wait to hopefully come stay with you one day. But speaking of the Pacific Northwest.
And speaking of marketing experts.
Yes.
We're going to introduce you to today's guest. And today's episode, we have the one and only Ellen Yin, the founder and host of Cubicle to CEO, a top 1% podcast, you're welcome, and media platform creating financially transparent content, events, and education, empowering entrepreneurs to pursue what is possible. And she is, my friends, she is STR curious. She is Airbnb curious. And so if you're a listener who's yet to buy your first property, or if maybe you're a co-host or property manager and you're wondering what your client is potentially thinking, this episode is going to be for you. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Erin and Annette, I'm so pleased to be here. And yes, all of you listening, think of this like free market research. I'll be your guinea pig.
And if you didn't notice in Sarah's intro, if there is anything to take away from this episode, it is inspiration for the name of Ellen's podcast, which is Cubicle to CEO. So if you are there, if you're at work right now today, we want you to be at that, your job potentially in your cubicle to the CEO of your hospitality brand. So please just maybe write that down, Cubicle to CEO. That's on your goal list. That's what we want for everyone. And hey, you can love your job. Maybe it's cubicle and CEO. So maybe you're somebody that wants to do both. So you can rename it cubicle and CEO too. But Ellen, let's tell our guests a little bit really quick though. We are no stranger to you. This is a very normal thing. Ellen used to be one of our coaches, everybody. We can let you in. Like, we've been on the mic with her before. We've asked her a lot of questions, but always us asking Ellen her expert advice. And she was a very, very important part of us launching our Hosting Business Mastery membership. And so we're super thankful for her. And also just letting our listeners know, like, we have always continued to invest in ourselves. And so we just want to offer that up to you to invest in yourself. You never know who you're going to meet and where that network is going to turn out to us today on the show. So Ellen, we've talked about it a lot because we have done some masterminding. We've been in person and you have a lot of questions about short-term rentals. And I hope you don't mind us sharing this. Ellen financially is very capable of purchasing this home. You have some cash allocated, correct? Sitting there waiting to kind of pounce at the right property, correct?
Absolutely. It's really about, for me, finding the right opportunity. And as an entrepreneur, you know, and I'm sure the two of you can relate, you're always thinking about not only the ROI of a potential investment, but also cost opportunity, right? So it's like, if you use your funds for one specific thing, it kind of removes the option maybe to use that cash for something else. And so you kind of have to weigh the opportunity cost and ask yourself which one best aligns with my goals, my long-term vision, which one is going to support my needs in the meantime. And so there's so many factors to consider. And that's why I'm so, so grateful to the two of you, because you're the first people I've met really in the short-term real estate space that feels so accessible. And even though you're such experts in this category, I feel like you still can resonate and understand what it's like to be a beginner. And you're really able to, you know, guide people like me through this process of exploring SDR. So I'm super grateful for that.
Where are you today in your short-term rental journey? And I've talked to you a couple of times and it's still on your mind, but where is it sitting in terms of, is that cost opportunity leaning more towards the short-term rental investment or not?
So interesting thing that has happened since we last saw each other in December in North Carolina for our in-person mastermind. I actually hired a wealth manager that Haley, our mutual friend, introduced me to. So shout out Caitlin Carlson. And this kind of goes back to your point, Annette, that it's so important in your journey to invest in mentors, invest in help, invest in support in whatever way that looks like, whether it's a DIY course or whether, you know, it's something more intimate. But I think that, to your point, it's all about the people that you meet within those containers. Like, that will pay more dividends in your life than any strategy or skill you walk away with. And so anyways, because I got introduced to my new wealth manager, we literally just had our onboarding call. So I'm actually waiting until she maps out my portfolio strategy before making any concrete purchases or moves to ensure that, you know, I'm making the right moves in the right order. So it's not a matter of if I will have an STR. I know I will. It's really just a matter of when. But as far as my curiosity goes, my interest in why I want an STR has not changed. So for those of you listening who don't have the same context, I live in Oregon and we're only about an hour's drive away from the coast. And being by the ocean is one of my favorite places to be. It brings me so much peace. And I have this dream of wanting to have an STR in my portfolio that, of course, can provide cash flow or tax benefits, but also a place that can really be a legacy for my family where we can come personally to stay and make memories. So that's kind of my approach or desire for wanting to buy an STR.
Love it. And then I know you and your partner, you have done some pretty extensive research. I think you hired a real estate coach, correct? When you were just thinking about maybe long-term rentals. Can you kind of take us through that thought process too of like, what piqued your interest in real estate period and then going down through your learning, your education part, and then kind of getting thinking more on the STR side?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you're right. We totally invested in real estate programs and mentorship early on, even before we knew for sure if this was an asset class that we wanted to be a part of. And really, I think it comes down to if you're wanting to invest in something new or try something new, you have to raise your own financial IQ around that, right? It's like you have to learn the language of that industry. And the more you understand, the better quality questions you can ask. And this is something I think the three of us agree on. A lot of your success is dictated by the quality of questions you ask. So you need to be able to have better understanding to actually formulate those questions. And so for us, we first started looking in long-term rentals. So, you know, typical single family housing, 3-bed, 2-bath style. And the thing that really drew me to real estate is that there are so many levers you can pull within this asset class that are not true for every asset class. So one, I liked that with rentals, especially, you don't have to rely on something like speculation, which is kind of more the deal in an asset class, like let's say stocks and bonds or the stock market, right? Because when you buy in the stock market, it's not like you literally control anything that goes on in the companies that you invest in. And so you're kind of more of a bystander and you're just waiting it out and seeing what happens over many decades, right? Because I would never try to time the market personally. So one thing that's interesting to me about real estate is that yes, your house can appreciate and there's value in your property appreciating, but also you are able to, in the meantime, actively influence the cash flow, right? And it's something that you're not just a pure spectator for. So that was one thing that really drew me to real estate. Another lever that I love is, of course, the tax advantages, especially as a business owner, where income can fluctuate wildly year over year and you are really trying to maximize profits. Come tax time, you still want to make sure that you are taking advantage of as many deductions as possible. And I think real estate just gives such an amazing opportunity to do that. And so those were some of the levers that I was just considering when I was looking at real estate that really drew me to wanting to learn more.
All right. So let's pretend we're right now, we're at a coffee shop. You're like, okay, I'm going to buy my first short-term rental. Let's kind of do a rapid fire coaching. What are those questions? Like you're literally like, okay, I have Annette and Sarah for this cup of coffee. I am going to, and there's like anything, you know, like what are the sheets? Do I have a plunger there? Like, you know, what are like questions like never hosting a guest in an STR before? Yeah. What are those questions that you would just love to like rattle off and have us answer?
Are all of you listening jealous that I get this opportunity? Okay, cool. I will role play. So I have a lot. I think one of the first questions that comes to mind, I'm sure I'm not the only one thinking this, is for your first STR, does it make sense to buy something nearby to where you live that is easily accessible within driving distance? Or, you know, if you have this like dream destination on your list, should you pick that bucket list? So let's start there.
That's a first.
Ellen said quality of questions. She's not messing around. Here's the thing that no one wants to hear, right? It depends. So, and that I know you'll have a lot to say on this too. Mm-hmm. If you write down, you know, pros and cons of dream destination versus backyard investing. And for some people, it might come up with, I am so busy in work life right now or career building right now that for me, I want to get in. I don't want to hesitate any longer. And you don't have a dream destination other than maybe it's at the beach or in a sunny destination. I would say, you know, you buy real estate and wait. So buy in your backyard. It's inherently easier because you have connections right off the bat with people you know, like, and trust already. Mm-hmm. But if you've grown up knowing that you want to buy a property on the shores of Oregon, you know, in wine country, but it's a few hours away and there are going to be some getting to know realtor who you can trust and know that they've got a good book of business to share with you. There's going to be more phone calls, maybe some more trips, which poor you, you get to hang out on the coast of Oregon, but you've got more time and that would really just help you like check one thing off of your bucket list, then do that. You know, people do both. Mm-hmm. They do backyard and they do remote investing as well.
What I would do is if you have that bucket list place, I would start looking. I mean, I'm sure everyone is probably looking at Zillow on their phone right now. I would really start to look at both of those areas. What is your bucket list? Because this research too, you can use it in the future. So I would start researching both of the areas. What is the cost of the home? What are the average nightly rates there? What does that look like for you? So I would really start two separate spreadsheets on both of those areas and kind of just see what the market's doing in both of those places. I'm a firm believer that not everything can go on the spreadsheet. Not everything can be jammed in a cell to tell you like what that's going to mean to you and your family. So I would actually start researching both, see which one financially does make the most sense. And one of our mentors said this to us such a long time ago, and it really just hit home for us, is a base hit is good. So maybe you do get that backyard investment, start there, see if you really like it, because maybe that bucket list place, you take the money from your backyard investment and you go to your bucket list place and you live it up once or twice a year and you don't have to worry about the property. You know, because we do see that happen a lot, that like people buy properties in their dream destination. Well, that week or two that used to be so sacred, they're sitting there, you know, looking at the cracks and crevices and cleaning up, and like they're doing DIY projects instead of enjoying it. So I think definitely do a cost analysis, like in a financial plan on both of those, and just see where they sit for you.
I love that advice to simultaneously be tracking both. And ultimately, I'm not surprised that you guys shared, no, it comes down to the data, right? Like we can feel however way we want to about something, but that's really helpful. Two other questions popped to mind as you were answering this last one. Selfishly, okay, I'm going to ask my more personal question first, kind of another question that I'm just in general curious about. So I did do some research on, you know, properties at the Oregon coast. And actually, I think I had shown maybe Sarah this late one night. She was like probably ready for bed.
So no, you showed her a house. She's like, let me get out my computer and a spreadsheet. Let's look at it.
Yeah, so kind. I found this such like adorable A-frame property at the coast. And I love it because it doesn't feel like an overwhelming property. It's like two bedrooms, one bath, but it has that oceanfront view. And the price is not really the issue. Like we got pre-approved for, you know, an amount that would cover whatever the purchase price they're asking for is. Of course, interest rates are high right now, but you guys also taught me some things around like, okay, you know, there's different options for buy downs and whatnot. So my biggest hurdle really in moving forward at all and exploring that is the area that it's in. So it currently operates as a very successful short-term rental. And I think I even just like peeked on Airbnb. They're almost booked out for like the next 10 months. But in Oregon, when they transfer ownership of the property, the STR license does not transfer to the new owner. So I would have to obviously resubmit with the city. And my real estate agent, she's amazing. She called around everywhere, like really trying to understand like, what is the timeline? What is realistic? And you know, the office came back and said, it could be anywhere from 3 months to potentially like 2 years before you get approved for this license. And there's really no guarantees or expedited options at all. Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of sitting with this thinking, all right, if I do want to buy that dream oceanfront property that I can also see being used for, you know, personal enjoyment, but I don't really know if in the meantime, I want to be fronting all of the cash for, let's say worst case scenario, it takes 2 years. Do I really want to be paying, you know, this mortgage and all the expenses of upkeep for 2 years while I'm waiting for my STR license? What would you say to a situation like that?
It's a good one. First, I haven't encountered this, so I'm just going to like put this out there. I don't know if there is in any way, shape, or form that the purchase of the property could be contingent on you getting the license, the license transfer, because maybe there's something with the current owner since they have 10 months of booking. There's going to be something in that in between that the licenses are going to have to be transferred, because hopefully this host is not going to sell the property and then canceled, you know, 10 months of reservations on people. So the first thing I would talk to, see if your realtor can talk to the owners about their license and if there's a way to transfer it to you in the sale of the property. I don't know how that municipality works. And then also talk with the owner about, is there a way within the purchase, like maybe if you do purchase it, the license stays in their name, you somehow partner with them for until it is transferred. Maybe just some sort of like agreement, obviously with your attorneys and your realtors about that. But the next thing I do, I know you called there or your realtor called. I would call three more times. See what answer you get. You know, like maybe not three more times, but one or two more times and just see, did the time frame stay the same? Did you talk to somebody different? And they're like, oh, get in your car, come down here. We'll give you one today. So I wouldn't take that one person's timeline and say that's written in law. You know, so if you have the opportunity, if you're ever, I would also, depending on how close you are, I would go there and like get face to face with somebody and tell them, this is my dream place. I want to buy it. And exactly what you just said to us, seeing you in person, telling me your story there, I might be able to, hopefully if they're at their desk in the city hall or whatever, they can walk over and say, oh, well, you know, we've got four meetings these upcoming months and really help you dive in. So I would not stop the pursuit of it because one person gave you a timeline. I would go dig a little bit deeper with that.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
I like the idea, Ellen, of seeing if you could have the purchase contingent on you getting the license. And maybe there's a lot of things you could discuss with your realtor there of renting it from the owners in the meantime, like predetermined dates where you guys could use the property during this contractual period. That's interesting to me.
I would get creative.
Is this place still available? Is it still for sale, Ellen? Because I remember it.
It is. Okay. Oh, so, okay.
Girl.
Yes. Then you have, saying that, listeners, we talked to Ellen about this property in December. So I think that was almost 45 days ago. And the market, I mean, rates are rising. I think you have got a lot more negotiating power now. And so I would just start going down that road and pose those questions with them. And listeners, we would love if any of you had this specific scenario happen with your short-term rental and your purchase and, you know, being limited amount of license or things like that, please email us. We'd love to hear how you work through this situation.
Because here's something to consider for yourself too, Ellen, is we always like to buy with exit strategies in mind. And clearly, if it's, I don't know how long it's been on the market now, but let's say you do move into it and actually then you want to upgrade. You know what I mean? Like your podcast, it's killing it. You want 8 bedrooms. And so you would like—
Your cubicle to billionaire CEO.
You want a 1031 exchange it, but you're having a hard time selling it because of the same exact issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying let that stop you at all.
Right.
But that should be a part of your decision factor here of how much will this property cost you each month? And have you stayed there? Could you rent it from them?
I have not. So we would want to stay there, obviously, and experience it first before we would actually really pull like any real moves on this. But yeah, honestly, I had been just stuck at that precipice of like, is it even worth pursuing any further if I can't potentially, you know, because we did ask, are licenses transferable? They concrete were like, absolutely no licenses are transferable in this county, unfortunately. But I hadn't thought about all those other options you talked about, like, oh, could we base the sale with this contingency? Or could we somehow get creative and say, hey, like you still have this amount of revenue potentially coming in from your reservations. Like, how about you keep the house for like 10 extra months and get that cash flow while we're figuring things out on the back end. I have so many ideas sparked just from that. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And maybe they could, again, this is all legal stuff too, is maybe there is an opportunity for them to stay co-hosts of the property. Mm-hmm. Like you could work out a property management, you know, I would really try to see what their goals are. And maybe they own a lot of other properties in that area and they're just trying to liquidate this one so they can have the cash for something else. But it's been sitting there for a while. So I think you've got some, it might be a nice thing to ping them and see what can happen.
Also, Sarah, the thing that you mentioned about thinking with the exit strategy in mind, I didn't even think about that. You're so right, though. Like if I bought this property, if I ever wanted to do the same and leave or sell, that does pose a problem. However, I guess that's not unique to this property. No. It's really unique to the area that I would be investing in. Right. So,
because sometimes the license even makes it, they are transferable with the property and they're limited. And that adds extra value. So if you're looking at the cost of a property, but the license is transferable with the property, I mean, you should add some value there, because I know someone else who was able to get a property that had limited licensure and they could transfer it to themselves. So there's a lot to think about there, Ellen. That should definitely not stop you. I cannot wait to hear what happens. You said you had one more question that was kind of more general.
Yes. So the more general question is kind of similar to my first question of, do you invest in your backyard or, you know, in a dream destination for your first property? Do you think it's necessary or smart for a first-time STR owner to learn the ropes of hosting at least on some level for a period of time themselves, so that when they hire out to a property management company that they actually know what constitutes a job well done versus not? Or can you shortcut and hire a PM right away? What do you think? What's your hot take on that?
Since Annette and I are educators in the short-term rental space, we're clearly biased. But actually, Simon Lehman, we had on the podcast prior to you, Ellen. I love the way he put this, because as a property manager, this made me want to like pull my shoulders back a bit more. Think about your property manager as being your asset manager, how they affect the success of your asset. And so if you are just giving it to some rando company or rando human who, unfortunately, know of people who decided they want to manage property and they've never done it before and they're touting their expertise. And it's like, oh boy, you know what I mean? Like, do you know how to care for a furnace, how plumbing works, where's the water shut off? What all the things that can happen. And so I feel, again, I'm biased, but who you hire to manage your asset, like a piece of real estate, should not be taken lightly. And the more you educate yourself as the investor, even if you have no plans, I know, Ellen, for you, that's really important that this is not an extra side hustle for you. You want to invest and kind of trust the expert to really handle it in the most professional way, that yes, you should educate yourself on what it takes to be a good property manager or co-host. What are the average daily rates? And is that backed up on data or emotion, so that you as the owner of the property can speak more in a more educated manner about what you expect to make each month, set those benchmarks with your partner there, what they do for marketing outside of just listing it on an online travel agency like Airbnb, who their maintenance team is, what their credentials are. So if you think of it like an asset manager, I think that puts the property manager on more of the pedestal they deserve to be on. Mm-hmm.
And I think, Ellen, you were, part of your question that you were asking is, should you do it yourself first though, before you hire? And so I don't think that's a necessity.
No.
Again, that kind of goes back to doing a cost analysis of like, you know, is your time better served building your brand and the revenue there or hosting your property? So I don't think that you have to be in the app and build out your listing to make sure that you're an amazing short-term rental owner. I don't think that's like necessary. Would it be great if you want to, if you have like the desire? Let's start there. If you are excited and you want to, absolutely. But if it seems like daunting and it is not a heck yes, then don't do it, because it's part-time, but all the time. So like right now, you could be recording a podcast and you have a guest that wants to book for their mom's birthday at Top Dollar. You can't not respond for, you know, today if you're recording podcast all day. So if it is not a heck yes for you, I would not feel like it's obligatory. And I'm sure some of our listeners like, Sarah Nett, like you're so hands-on. Yes, but like only if you want to be.
let somebody that wants to be hands-on. So I don't feel like you have to host for, you know, you have to do it yourself before you hand it off. I know a lot of times as business owners too, you're like, well, I need to understand all the things before I hire someone to do all the things because you want to know them. But I don't think it's absolutely obligatory unless you are, you know, really driven and excited to do that.
Yeah, let me clarify. It's not obligatory for you to do the management, but I do think it's obligatory for you to understand the management and what makes a good manager versus yes. what makes a poor manager.
Yes.
Is that what you were asking, Ellen?
Yeah, it was both essentially. So that's really helpful to know that I don't have to, like you said, be in the weeds manually actually doing each step, but mm-hmm. to educate myself on the actual process and what I should be looking for. And again, like what constitutes good performance versus, oh, you're not taking care of this asset like you should be. That's really, really helpful. So thank you. That gives me encouragement though, because there was a part of me that had this mentality of like, oh yeah, I feel like I have to get in the trenches and do the thing to be able to pass it off. So that's really affirming to know that's not the case.
And to be honest, the property manager, the co-host, whoever's going to help you, they'd probably rather just start off the listing themselves so they can get all of their, like their SOPs, the way they would get it listed, like they could optimize it from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably like, you know, from that perspective, they'd like to do that, you know?
Well, we did right. it kind of with you, Ellen, for a mastermind in December, but I also recommend people who want to buy an asset like a short-term rental to stay in a short-term rental. That mm-hmm. way you can understand too, like what you want for yours and what mm-hmm. you don't want for yours mm-hmm. either. Because the reason why you like this asset class is that you can pull different levers, including your choice of property manager. And that would then trickle down into what they offer. Because as you know, we had Veronica on the show too, Ellen. And Veronica is who hosted this mastermind. And she ended up firing her initial property manager, creating a hybrid experience because she ended up going to the property between a turnover and was very unhappy with the way it was being managed. So,
and the reservations were not
being optimized.
So yeah, that's really important. All right. So we're still sipping on our coffee here. Do we have any other, what are any other burning questions that you might have?
I think my final burning question around this, and hopefully this is helpful to any of you who are SDR curious like me, is when you are personally evaluating a potential property to purchase, what are the most important data metrics that you're looking at? Is there anything that is a absolute deal breaker when you see like this number or this percentage or ratio, whatever, where you're like, absolutely not, like, let's just eliminate and move on to the next thing?
Oh, that's a good question. This is going to be something that like we actually have, Sarah and I have had a lot of conversations about this with a lot of people, and they're always wanting to talk about cash on cash returns. Deal breakers for us, because things could be like amazing on paper. We need to see the property. We need to see where it is. For us, we need to see the neighborhood where we're going to be impacting the entire community. Honestly, that is probably the number one deal breaker for Sarah and I is this property a short-term rental, period? Before you even look at the numbers, because the numbers could be stellar and it's bad for the neighborhood. It's bad for the guests. So that is the deal breaker of really understanding where that property is in the city, in the community, in the neighborhood. Like that's to us is the I think one of the deal breakers.
And listeners, if you think that's woo-woo of us, I want you to think about that a little bit longer, because it's just like starting any business. If you start a business and then you get impacted by constantly being reached out by your guests because they don't feel safe, constantly being harassed by your neighbors because you decided to buy in an HOA that doesn't like short-term rentals, even though they're allowed. Now, you know, the cost of your time, if you are self-managing, or maybe your property manager then fires you as a client because it just doesn't make sense for them, because you are the 80% of their time making 20% of their money. Mm-hmm. So these decisions that don't necessarily aren't the easiest to put into a spreadsheet for us are the most important. Plus, Annette and I very much value our brand as human beings. And so that to me too is a really important asset that I take care of on the daily. But to give you some—
Yeah, we'll go back to the numbers question though, but that would be the deal. That yes. is something, again, we just, because there is so much like online about the cash yeah. on cash return and they're running the numbers. And then I see these properties and I'm like, no, that I can't even, like, why'd you even run the numbers? Like, that shouldn't even be a short-term rental. Like, yeah. what are you, like, yeah. Anyways, we could go on and on about that. So, but go ahead, Sarah.
So that component, next on my list, Ellen, would be exit strategies. So there are people out there that believe, hey, this is a short-term rental. It's meant to be a short-term rental. It'll sell as a short-term rental. I disagree. Even the vacation rental markets, especially if you're going to go all in on a large luxury property, that exit strategy is going to be a lot more difficult
than one that has, you could sell it to a, you could rent it out to a long-term person and then sell it in with multiple purposes for the property. So if you want a large property that is mainly a short-term rental market, just understand that I think then I want my cash on cash to be higher. I want my opportunity to for it to appreciate to be higher because I know that I might be up against a bigger challenge when that time comes. So I'm not saying that would be an immediate no, but for me, the exit strategy would be very important. And third, when it comes on cash, I know the gurus say 30%. But I think if you're getting 15% cash on cash on a short-term rental that has exit strategies in place that might increase if I need to put those into action, that for me is a win. And it's in a great place, great neighborhood. I might want to visit. I'd be proud to have my friends and family. It'll enhance my brand. Sign me up.
And last but not least is when you're doing the numbers, you know, you're looking at doing the projections, make sure to take into account those shoulder seasons, those slow seasons, or if anything were to happen and you didn't have someone in there for 30, 60, 90 days, could you afford it? Like I would have, what is that number? What is that worst case scenario number? If that property does not bring in that revenue, you're selling that place. Be really comfortable with what runway you have to run it. You know, if and when something were to happen or you had a few reservations cancel, I just don't want you to be on tilt about the property or paying, you know, out for too long. So I think, you know, look at what runway you would have if for some reason you didn't have those reservations for an extended period of time.
How's that feel, Ellen?
So much gold. I'm like, I'm so excited to listen back to this episode so that I can just soak up everything you all said. I just want to point out for the listeners, by the way, so on our show, Cubicle to CEO, our podcast tagline is we ask successful entrepreneurs the business questions you can't Google. But what Sarah and Annette just did, like those non-spreadsheet factors to consider, that is exactly what you all are doing. I feel like that exactly proves why it's so important to hire mentors or to invest in your education and any potential asset class or endeavor, because these are the type of things that like if I Googled, like, what should I look for in a potential Airbnb property? I'm not going to get those type of answers. And so it's truly the stuff you can't Google. So I just appreciate you being willing to share some of those non-number specific things that I need to look out for, especially the exit strategy. I feel that that's my biggest takeaway from our conversation today is for some reason, which is silly, but I never even really thought about like, what happens if I don't want this anymore? Or like, you know, something in my life changes. So I really appreciate you giving me that to marinate on.
I also give you permission. I like to call it future. It's a future Sarah problem. It could be a future Ellen problem. And if you love the property so much that you're like, you know what, I'm going to kick that to future Ellen to worry about. Because future Ellen might be in a very different, well, she will be in a very different financial space. So I don't want that to get anyone out there to roadblock their mindset. But I do think it should be up for consideration.
Think about it. Yeah, for
Ellen,
sure.
Ellen, I have a question for you now. Because you're an expert in taking people from cubicle to CEO, whatever that means for them, we have a lot of listeners who dream of trading in what they're doing now for a life of full-time short-term rentalness. In all your interviews, in all the work that you do, what is that non-Googleable thing that you could offer our listeners?
Dang, on, Sarah, that's a goal, girl.
On how to reframe their mindset a bit so that they can chase that and do it with purpose and ask better questions.
Oh, putting me in the hot seat, I see. Okay. Guys, I feel like every question requires some context for me to give the best advice for that particular individual. That said, if you are someone who is actively trying to exit your day job to do something else, whatever that may be, I think the most important thing to consider is what do you already have available to you? There's this weird thing that happens. I see a lot of new entrepreneurs experience where whether they just left their 9-to-5 or they're thinking of leaving their 9-to-5, they almost discount their entire professional past lives. Like they're just like, oh, I'm a new business owner. Therefore, I know nothing and I have nothing. I have no network. I have no skill. Like I have no value to provide. It's crazy. Like people who are such accomplished individuals who have done so many amazing things in their personal and professional lives, they almost act like everything they did up until that point no longer matters. And that's the biggest, I think, mistake that people make is not looking at what they already have. Who do they already know? What skill sets are they already using in their day-to-day job that could be monetized outside of a traditional employee position? Because that's exactly how I started my business. I was working marketing for a corporate healthcare. I was very young and naive, 23. So maybe a lot of the fears didn't come to my mind because I just like wasn't even thinking big picture. When I left my job, my very first client for my freelance, at the time I was a freelance social media manager. Obviously my business had drastically in the last 5 years. But at the time, my very first marketing client was actually a colleague of mine at the company I had left. And, you know, I was putting out there, hey, I have these marketing skills that obviously I was getting paid for within my day job, but I knew I could also monetize that existing skills in a non-traditional way. I knew people were looking for freelance help in marketing. And so I just started talking to my existing network and saying, hey, I have the skill set. If you know any local small businesses that may need this support, please send them my way. And lo and behold, one, you know, like I mentioned, my colleague, I didn't even know this about him until my desires out there. Him and his wife own these local coffee stands. And I knew him as the project manager at a health plan. So like, why would I ever think that that was like something that he did, right? But he was like, hey, we actually have these local coffee stands and we don't really have any presence on Instagram. Yeah, we'd be interested in seeing how you could help us launch our account. And that first project, you guys, it was $300. It wasn't any life-changing amount of money, but it was proof of concept, right? It was like, okay, there's someone out there that's willing to pay for something I already have, already know, I'm already good at. And how can I then reinvest that money into growing my business? And that's how we generated, you know, more than $2 million in revenue now. It all started with that $300 project.
That was so much gold. And I want to give to our listeners, Sarah and I get a lot of questions about how do I become, because a lot of people want to become co-hosts. They want to become property managers. What Ellen just said, there is someone in your network right now that has a vacation rental. They want to have a short-term rental. They need help with their Airbnb, whether it is, you know, just messaging guests, or maybe they need help with their bookkeeping. Maybe they need help with design. Please look at your immediate network. And when I say look, don't just look at them. You got to put the offer out there that you can help them. So that's my last question, Ellen, is let's say someone wants to co-host or they want to use their skill set. What do you think is the best way? Because you're an expert in marketing. How can they tell people when they don't have any proof of concept, this is what I'm interested in, this is what I want to do?
I think the best thing, this is a piece of advice that actually one of our podcast guests shared on the show that really stuck with me. So shout out to Michelle. She says, sometimes you have to do the unscalable things first in order to do the scalable things later. So what that means is when you're just starting out, it may make more sense than for you to put, I mean, you can do both. It's not an or, either or, it's an and situation. So put out, you know, in a social post across wherever you hang out or exist online, do tell people, hey, I'm really interested in entering into the short-term real estate market. I'm looking for these type of experiences. I would love to offer my time, my services, my skill sets. Like you said, like if you happen to be really great at design or you're a really great organizer or whatever it is in your personal life that might actually help an existing SDR host, put those things out there and say, I'm willing to volunteer my service to learn. Do you know anyone that I could potentially help? Like, I would love to be connected. Put that out on social, but don't discount the power of actually sending individual emails, one-on-one emails, one-on-one to specific people that you know love and support you and want to see you in. Don't assume things about people because, again, like I said, if I had looked from a very surface level at my existing network, I would have never picked this random project manager to be like, yeah, you're my ideal first client. Like, how would I even, I wouldn't know. But sometimes you just don't know who people are connected to, what other things they may have going on in their lives that they just don't publicly share. And so don't be afraid to just reach out to anybody who you know has your back and wants to see you and tell them, this is what I want to do. This is the value I have to offer. Can you introduce me to anybody who might be a good fit for that opportunity? And make the ask, because 9 times out of 10, you will be shocked by the plethora of connections that are already within your community. So again, don't make assumptions and do the unscalable things.
And the world needs you. They need to know what your special skills are and they need it to come from you. You know, not the other people out there who you are going to tell yourself are better than you are. They need your special secret sauce. And so that is why you need to announce it to the world because we need you.
Yes.
So Ellen, 100%. Thank you so much. Where can our listeners find out more about what you have to offer via your podcast and elsewhere?
Absolutely. Well, if you all like to nerd out on business stuff like the three of us do, like Sarah and Annette mentioned, our media company specifically spotlights women-owned bootstrapped businesses that make between $100,000 and under $100 million in revenue annually. So we kind of think of ourselves as the B2B media company for all the stories and amazing entrepreneurs and founders who are ignored by mainstream media, since mainstream media likes to hyper-focus on billion-dollar unicorns and venture-backed startups. So if you're interested in that type of content, we send out a weekly newsletter every Wednesday, giving you a peek behind the scenes into the case studies, real-time strategies, and finances of 6, 7, 8-figure businesses. We also have a podcast that releases new episodes every Monday and Wednesday, Cubicle to CEO. So you can subscribe wherever you're listening to this, or you could head over to cubicletoceo.co. That's cubicletoceo.co. to add your name to our weekly newsletter.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Ellen is one of the sharpest business owners we know, and we are so lucky to have you in our sphere, Ellen. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.